new cars, new drivers, new liveries, new platform for our podcast, but the same old pod. BTCP, back for 2023, Donington Preview.
Yes, hello and welcome back. We're here for the 2023 season and we're on video, which is a bit weird for me.
Yeah.
Seeing ourselves back
it's
in
a
like
talking
a mirror.
It is. I know how Harry Potter must have felt in one of the books.
Yes, but very much looking forward to it. As you may have heard in the intro there, we are on YouTube this year and we're very much looking forward to it. We hope you're all going to enjoy it as well. And you're pretty much going to see the full uncut versions with a bit of music at the front and a bit of music at the back.
And some in the middle sometimes.
Yes.
Exciting.
But yeah, we're going to Donington this weekend and we will be there.
We are. It's due to rain?
It is due to rain, yes. Much like at Brands Media Day.
It can't be as bad as Brands Media Day.
I hope not.
That was tsunami weather.
Tell me you're not going to wear two-tone jeans again.
I didn't wear two-tone jeans to start off with. The rain just changed my fashion on the day. There's not a great deal that can be done. But as you say, the 2023 season kicks off this weekend at Donington Park. So what better place to start than who can we expect to see there this weekend? Let's go through the entry list.
Yeah, so obviously title winner is back from last season, Tom Ingram, with the number one on his car this year. And watch out for the gold number plates, because they signify that he is champion from last year.
And wing mirrors.
And wing mirrors, yes. He will be partnered with Tom Chilton and also Ronan Pearson, who will be the first rookie of the season, and Nick Halstead at Hyundai with Bristol Street Motors.
Running again the i30 Fastback N Performance with the Hyundai Swindon engine. At BMW, we've got Colin Turkington looking for time to number five. We've got Stephen Jelly back for another campaign. Adam Morgan's moved across from Sicily to join the BMW outfit. And Jake Hill is back with Laser Tools, who weren't racing 2023, but are again now because things change very, very quickly.
Yeah, there's a long story about that. If you go and listen to our other podcast, you'll find out about it.
And they are in the BMW 330e M Sport. We've then got Toyota Gazoo Racing.
Yeah, so Rory Butcher stays with the team for this season. And also Ricky Collard, who also said that he wasn't going to be there for this season, is back. And then they've also signed up George Gamble into a third car for this season.
Once again, running the Toyota Corolla GR Sport with the Toyota engine this year for the first time.
Yeah, looking forward to that.
Napa have gone for four cars. Yes, four. They are in the Ford Focus ST. Lots of rumours that they were going to change their car in the off-season, but they haven't. And they've gone for a very strong four-driver lineup.
Yeah, we've got Dan Kamish back for another season, along with Ashley Sutton. We knew they were going to be there. They're on two-year deals from last season. But joining this season from Team Halfords with Cataclean is Dan Rowbottom. And also Sam Osborne will be there as the fourth driver.
Then we move on to the independent entries. We've got PMR running three cars this year in the Astra from about 1902. They are not running their own engine. They're running the Toka M Sport engine.
Yeah, one of only two teams to be running that this season. And they will be arrow-headed by Aaron Taylor-Smith, along with two rookies in Andrew Watson and Mikey Doble.
Then we move on to One Motorsport, who have taken over the BTC team and have got the Hondas from Dynamics. They'll be running the Honda Neil Brown engines this year, which last year was sort of their Achilles heel at BTC, was the engine power. So it'll be interesting to see how they got on this year. Aidan Moffitt, Josh Cook and Will Powell will be joining up as a threesome to try and score points for One Motorsport this season. And then finally, we've got the race ground.
The merry-go-round that is Team Hard.
The breeding ground, whatever you want to call it. Yeah, Team Hard have got six entries this year. We've got Beverages and Bartercard with Team Hard. That rhymes really quite nicely.
It does.
Bartercard with Team Hard.
And they will be run by Dexter Patterson and Jade Edwards in an orange and black liveried Cupra.
We've then got what you'd expect to be the main team, which is Autobright Direct of Miller's Oils, which will be run by Bobby Thompson and Dan Lloyd.
That is a red and black livery for this season. And then there is Go Fix with Auto Aid Breakdown, who is a blue and black this season, with Nicholas Hamilton and Jack Boutel.
So that's the entry list. A little bit shorter than we expected at the start of the season. I don't know if you heard, but Dynamics are not here. Might have heard something on the grapevine. Great time to own a Dynamics coat.
I'm sure you'll get plenty of use out of that this weekend.
I will get a lot of sympathy looks, I think, as well. People will be joining me in solidarity for a moment.
I would have said that it kept you quite dry at Media Day, but it really didn't.
It did. The top half was brilliant. Oh, okay. Yeah, I was.
Well, quality products then.
it was really good. I kept drawing the top. It was just the two-tone jeans that were a problem. But there we go.
Style that's going to come back. You watch.
Yeah, that's me. A forefront,
trendsetter.
Forefront of British fashion, me. Right, so Dynton Park this weekend. Officially 8 corners, 1.98 miles. First BTCC race in 1977. Sam, would you like to have a guess at who the quality lap record's with?
I should know, seeing as they're in our booklet that we've just released. Nice. Thank you. I'm going to go for Ingram.
No.
Hill.
Yes.
There we go.
Any idea what year that was?
Last year?
Correct. 108.4. Lap race, lap record?
Sutton?
No.
Camish?
No. Camish was on fire for most of last year.
Yeah, Camish was on fire last year, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Hill?
Yes.
Thank you. Last year?
Yes. Well done.
He was very quick at times.
Do you want to have a stab on what the lap time was?
1:09.
Yes.
Hey.
0.2, but I'll give it you. That's close enough for me. So you start off on the Wheatcroft straight, going into Redgate, then through Hollywood, then down the famous Craner curves into the old hairpin, up through McLean's, out through Coppice, down the Dunlop straight, although it's not got the Dunlop bridge anymore, and through the Fogarty S's back onto the Wheatcroft straight. Lots of chance to overtake it. Where would you be looking to view from or looking for action at this?
If you're looking for action, you're probably going to be looking to sit anywhere from Hollywood down to, down the Craner curves towards the old hairpin. There's going to be a couple of big TVs basically on the inside of the circuit looking towards the outside, and you can see so much down the Craner curves, and you can also see them just rising up to McLean's as well.
Yeah, it's a really deep drop off, isn't it, through the Craner curves? Yeah.
Not quite as steep as Paddock Hill.
No, but it's more technicality, so because there's corners involved, and we've seen plenty of action there over the years. Turkson spun through there last year.
Plato rolled it in the Chevrolet Cruze several years ago.
He did indeed.
I still don't understand how he got to that location.
No, and Hill and Turkington decided that they were not going to be teammates for a few corners down here last year, which caused a bit of a stir in the WSR garage.
Maybe we'll get to see that again this season.
Perhaps so. A quick timetable for you. The touring cars will be on from 11:30 on, well, around 11:30 on the Sunday.
Yeah, as long as everything goes to schedule beforehand. Normally with TV time, they try to keep it as close for the touring cars as possible.
You've then got 14:40 or 20:03 in old money. And then again, 5:25 or 17:25, depending how you like to do your numbers. So it'll be a fairly late finish. I remember, and traffic out of Donington is always fun. We're looking forward to that, aren't we?
I have a feeling it might be even worse this year with the amount of possible rain that could be scheduled.
We could take the microphones and do the pod.
We could,
car.
Yes.
Because last year we got through a lot of games of...
Yeah, we did wait about an hour to get out of the car park, didn't we?
Yeah. What did we play last year?
I think we played Rummy at times.
We did play Rummy. Yeah, that's good.
Anyway, all races are 18 laps for Donington this weekend. Obviously...
For the touring cars.
Obviously,
you have to be... We're on the touring car podcast. We're on the telly now. We have to be accurate. You never see Paul O'Neill get anything wrong.
No, or Tim Harvey.
Constant professionals, and that's what we've got to aspire to be.
So, yeah, 18 laps for the touring cars, unless we see a safety car, and then obviously up to 3 laps can be added on. Weather for this weekend, we've already touched on it so far.
It's going to be dry Saturday.
Saturday's looking much better than Sunday.
Which I think is the best way to have it, because it's great to have a quote, normal qualifying session done. And then you get the cars in the normal order, and then the rain comes, because then you really do start to see who is good in the rain at that level.
Yeah.
And a couple of shocks coming through the back of the field. I think if it is semi-wet, we will see a couple of teams further back, maybe have a bad qualifying, gamble on tyres and go for wets or indeed slicks on the base of the track, either dry or not dry.
Possibly even see some combined wet setups for qualifying on Saturday as well, which will... It will limit them in qualifying, but may give them a much better race car for the Sunday.
Question, given what happened at the test, if it does rain, will Turkson bother going out to set a time, or would just expect him to stay in the garage?
I think so. Okay. What I would say is that if it does rain, Butch is going to be looking pretty good because of the amount of laps that he did in qualifying.
Test day.
And also, Team Hard were out there in the absolute worst conditions, so they might have a little bit more data than some others.
Absolutely agree. We do like a wet weather race, despite the knock-on effect it has on us on the viewing banks. But Donington is a great track for it to be wet at, isn't it? Because there's so much there, isn't there? Yeah. There's so much to go wrong. There's so much to think about that you really do get good racing if it rains there.
Yeah, especially with trying to position your car on the track. With the amount of elevation changes that there are at Donington, you're going to get rivers all over the place. And if you catch them at the wrong point, at the wrong speed, then you could be in a world of trouble.
Absolutely. And as I say, it's a track where you really can't switch off on in the dry.
No.
Add the rivers, add the puddles gathering at the bottom of the hill. Yeah, you're in for an exciting weekend of racing.
And I think there's going to be some interesting lines if it's wet as well.
Absolutely, yeah. And of course, it'd be good to see maybe a rookie come through the field if things go right, or a surprise winner. It just adds that bit of a shake-up. And so early into the season as well, when we're not got too much of an idea where the championship's going to go, it's good to get an early shake-up straight off the bat.
Yeah, I think we saw with Kamish last season that you really don't want to have an ultra-bad first weekend, because it can really set you back for the start of the season and the season going forward. That fire that he had at the end or midway through qualifying really put him on the back foot for the rest of the season. And I think even we said after that first race weekend, we knew he was going to really be nowhere.
Yeah. You've mentioned last year, so let's go back in our time machine to the results. Tom Ingram won, well, technically Jake Hill won race one, but was excluded for ride height difficulties. And then Ingram inherited the win. Second that race was Colin Turkington, and third Gordon Shedden. So BMW and Honda go well here in the dry. Race two saw Gordon Shedden from Tom Ingram. Ingram did win that on the road, but as a push to pass, well, an alleged push to pass, wasn't there?
Yes, coming through Coppice. It
wasn't a push to pass.
It wasn't a push to pass. It was nothing like we've seen in previous years. Some of the moves that Gordon Shedden and Matt Neal especially have done over the years have been far worse than that and gone unpunished.
I think the problem was, it's the start of the season. The race officials want to make it look like they're going to clamp down this for the season. Then by round about round four, everybody's forgotten and suddenly it's back to touring cars and how you'd expect it to be.
I must say, looking back at the results, what I remember significantly from last season was the way that Hill then charged through the field after being excluded from the race one. So obviously once he was excluded, had to start at the back for race two. He finished race two ninth. And then won the final race with fastest lap.
I can't remember the exact number that came out, but it was a BMW, so it would have been nine that came out, because it's the way that the reverse grid works. He proved straight away that he has got the ability to race, and that car was fast
that weekend.
It doesn't matter now, but had he not been excluded, would he have won the championship?
I know.
Would that have been what you needed to win the championship? Because it'd probably been a first to first and then a sixth or higher.
Yeah, he was very quick that weekend.
And then race number three, we saw Jake Hill take the win, as you say. And we saw
Ash Sutton finish second, followed by Josh Cook.
Absolutely.
It's going to be an interesting weekend, I feel.
It is. And it's worth mentioning that George Gamble got his first podium in only a second race here last year. Had a bit of a stinker race number three. I think he got involved in some contact down at the S's, if memory serves me right.
From what I remember.
But he finished the first race sixth as well, so a decent hunting ground for him. I have got a real sneaking suspicion this year that if you're going to go for a dark horse to the championship,
okay,
let's talk wider.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to bring it back, don't worry.
Bit of a season preview mixed in.
Yeah. Butch is a dark horse for me. So I think you have to look at...
Is that just because of the amount of running that he did on media day, or the amount of consistent running that he did on media day?
It's that. It's linked. If you look at the results from the last few races from last season,
we're talking...
I'll just read them out to you. From Thruxton... Actually, he'd finished in the points all year bar one race where he retired, which is the opening round.
Okay. Pretty good record.
He then fought back to 10th in race two.
Yep.
And then came back to third for race three.
Seventh,
for race three. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Several podiums along the way. Only one win. But look at that run from Silverstone onwards. Right, actually, you go to Thruxton. 6-5-4-1-2-3-2-4-3. That's an incredible run.
He was driving a bit like a man possessed towards the end of last season.
I think he just clicked. I think they got the car they wanted it to be. He clicked with the car again. And now they've got their own engine in it.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. The stock engine was a bit rubbish. It was a bit rubbish.
It was the first year in full racing terms for the new Toker engine, which is done by M Sport and Cosworth doing the hybrid side of it. And they've had a year now to look at how it's developed, how they've been able to make minor changes and then try and boost it or have it on a more level playing field this year compared to some of the built engines, if that be by Neil Brown or the Swindon engine, the absolute rocket ship that's in that Hyundai.
Yeah, they've gone for a Toyota Neil Brown mix. It's interesting because you say BMW done the same. Hyundai have stuck with Swindon and Ford have gone with Mountune.
I think Mountune engine, they had one of those last year. They have a fairly good relationship with Mountune.
But going back to Butcher.
Yes.
So I think that with that engine, I think that is probably, well, from the naked eye, the best chassis on the grid.
Okay.
I really think so. Yeah, it just sticks.
Better than the Honda?
I think so.
Okay.
We saw Ingram nearly take it to a championship.
I think what is fairly crucial this season is the fact that they've now got three cars.
Yeah.
They've got the ability to drag another set of data in, half again of what they had last season, and work and nail in on the real idiosyncrasies that each car has and make the most of it.
Agreed. So you've got to look at your Ingram, Sutton, Hill, Turkington as your main four, I think.
Yep.
But I think if you're going to chuck in a bit of a dark horse, it's got to be Butcher for me. And I think he'll do well this weekend. The car goes well here. We saw that last year to a degree.
Yeah.
To a degree. Obviously, the retirement doesn't help. But yeah, you saw it last year. Collard had a rotten time here as well. But he was running in the podium place, so they had to retire. Was it race one or was it race two? He retired both races, but in one of those races, he was running in the podium
places. I think
places.
It was race one because then in race two, he was driving well and fighting his way back to the field and had the same issue come up.
So I think Butcher's a bit of a dark horse. And, well, let's go straight into our predictions. I think he will get pole this weekend.
Ooh, okay then. Interesting. I've gone for someone a little more regular, shall we say. I think Hill, with the amount of testing he did on media day and the pace that he showed here last season, especially if it's going to be dry on the Saturday, I think he takes pole and probably by a decent margin in touring car terms. I was saying like up to a tenth, because we can see the front of the grid be covered by like top six become.
Of course you can.
So I think there might be a little bit of a gap there.
Okay. Hill's not a bad call. I don't think there'll be that big a gap. It depends what BMW have made. You know, they were slightly down. Let's not forget, they were down in testing to a degree.
But they're always going to probably sandbag a little bit, so they don't want to show their true colours.
Or get the engine move forward. But if you're looking at the data purely, and I agree with what you're saying, if you're looking at it purely, they were down a little bit on testing. Mm. It depends what car they've built. I don't think the BMW was that strong last year, Hill aside.
If you're looking at the data in testing, though, why haven't you gone for Ingram for pole? Because he was the fastest in testing. And we know how quick he is at Donington. And that Hyundai is a rocket ship in a straight line. Go back to our Media Day podcast and listen to it, because it was faster than anything. All three of the four cars were faster than anything else in a straight line.
Because I'd like to live a bit wild.
Okay, lovely.
I don't know.
Have you got a little man crush on Butcher this season?
No, look, I like Butcher. I like the Toyota. For me, the Corolla is my favourite car on the grid as a car. If you could say to me, you can go and buy any of these in road car, I'd buy the Corolla straight away.
You just don't want it in that livery.
Livery's okay. But
it's growing on you, because I knew you hated it last season when it came out.
Yeah, it's growing on me. At least I've used some colour. If you were to say to me, here are all the cars in top-of-the-line car spec for the road, which one do you want? I'd have the Corolla every day of the week and twice on Sundays.
You wouldn't have the BMW?
No, I love the Corolla. I think it's a really cool car.
Okay.
I'm guessing you have the BMW, then, would you?
No, I'd have the Corolla as well.
Well, there we go. Yeah.
I was actually looking at my next car to possibly be that new shape Corolla, because I think it looks really good in its sporty layout, the GR layout.
And I just think that Ingram's not going to have it all his way this year. And I think the reason that comes down to is that I don't see where the help comes from. You've got two rookies in the team that aren't going to score points regularly, in my opinion. I don't think they will.
Okay.
You've got Tom Chilton, who last year...
He's over the hill.
Well, last year, for the first three, four rounds on the bounce, he was just getting involved in such silly things. And you just don't... You look at Camish, you look at Rowbottom, and you go, are they going to make those mistakes the Chilton was making? Are they going to be offered more help to Sutton? Yes.
Yes, they are.
Is Jelly, depends what season it is, Morgan and Hill, it depends how much they're going to race each other at BMW, don't get me wrong, how much are they going to be allowed to race? And we discussed in a previous podcast about perhaps Morgan and Hill being the future of WSR moving forward. And then you look at Corolla, or Toyota, Butcher is the clear leader in that team for me.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So I think you have to look at that and who's best set up in the championship. It's often the car that's got a clear leader. I don't think Butcher's going to win the championship. I want to put that out there now.
Okay.
That we'll be sealing our predictions ready to open at the end of the year. But I can tell you, I don't think Butcher will be champion, but I think he's going to be in that mix this year.
Okay.
And hence why I've gone for pole. And also while we're here to win a race this weekend.
Well, yeah, that's why I've gone for Hill as well. I think. Are you going down the lines of the pole sitter will probably go on and win race one?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think so. I've also gone for Ingram to win a race this weekend as well. I think he will still do very well.
Yeah.
Take what I've just said. I'm not chucking away, but he will.
You're covering all bases here.
Spread yourself.
It's exactly what I've done as well, because I've gone for Ingram. So
yeah, I think that the Hyundai is a fantastic car. It goes well here. Ingram is a fantastic driver. You run out of superlatives for both him and the car. But look, the thing is, you see it in all forms of motorsport and all forms of sport. The winner always has a target on their back. They set the standard and people want to beat them.
Yeah.
And Ingram's always been quite well-liked on the grid. And I'm not going to say people get out of his way at all, so they don't. But I would say that they're probably less likely to defend him as hard as they would other drivers who isn't perhaps as well-liked across the grid. And I just think this season it's going to be a bit tougher for him.
It could certainly be this year where we see what he's made of and what he's met with. And to see how good he can deal with the pressure of carrying the number one in his car.
Yeah. Everyone, I'm not making sweeping statements as usual, but I get the impression he's pretty well liked on the grid.
Very popular, yeah.
But our driver's now going to go, well, he's won his title, I can race a bit harder than now.
Well,
I don't know. Then race three, I'm going to go Moffitt will win on the reverse grid. You normally get a bit of fairy tale nonsense, don't you? That, oh, this car fresh out of the box, brand new from Dynamics, with this new engine, new livery, new team, blah, blah, blah. Takes a race win. It always happens.
Well, I'm going slightly down the line of you with the Toyota talk, and I'm actually going to go Gamble. I think he's going to be sitting there or thereabouts, maybe just inside the top 10 for the first couple of races, get a nice reverse grid. And once he's out there at the front, I think. He's got the wherewithal to then take home a race victory, not with ease, but competently.
Look, Gamble, I think, will pick up silverware this year.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm not going to argue too much with you on that at all. Okay, our three general predictions.
Yes.
I'm going to go four, and I'll do all three of mine straight off the bat. Napa will outscore WSR. That's all four against all four.
Yep.
I'll count Hill towards WSR's lot for the purpose of this. Fine. That's fine. There'll be no podium for Colin Turkington this weekend.
Just because it's wet?
Again, covering all bases like I like to do. I think that Turkington will be in the title battle mathematically, but not so much realistically. I think that he's Colin Turkington. He will score points because he always does.
Yep.
But I think he will be in there.
It'll be a fourth, fifth, sixth most weekends sort of thing.
Yeah, I'm not that excited for his season, if I'm honest with you. I do think that the guard is changing at WSR.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Colin made quite a few mistakes last year, which are uncharacteristic for him.
Yeah. Donington being one of them, and Knockhill.
Yeah, Silverstone another one.
Yeah.
Knockhill the year before with Ash Sutton.
Yeah.
I don't know. You just started to see a few bits and pieces in Colin's driving that weren't there a few years ago. I don't know. I don't know if there's anything bigger at play. But, yeah, I just don't think... I think he'll be there in the championship hunt because he knows how to score points. He always scores points.
And he'll get backed by the team.
But I do also think...
He'll get pushed forward by Morgan and Jelly when he needs to, as long as he's still in that championship battle.
But I also think that you're looking at a slightly new generation here with Hill, Sutton and Ingram, who can all race very hard, and that's not necessarily been Collins' strong point. And I think that there's a risk that if he can't adapt the driving style to be that bit more aggressive, to take a few more risks, because all three of those drivers, perhaps slightly less Ingram, but...
Know when to get their elbows out.
Actually, I will count Ingram there. Ingram's lap at Brands Hatch was brilliant,
yep.
But it could have so easily been Max Verstappen's lap at Jeddah.
Yeah, it could.
Yeah, it worked, so it's fantastic, and it'll go down in folklore as one of the greatest laps we've ever seen. In the same way Verstappen's would have done if he not had he not binned it in the wall in the last corner.
In the last corner.
Had he made that stick, we'd be talking about that for years to come, how good a lap it was. But that's a risk Ingram took. He could have easily, there's points where he was sliding, oh my God, he's in the gravel here. And he was literally on the, don't get me wrong, it's brilliant. And I still watch it back at least once a month because it is just a stunning lap. But it was a calculated risk. And I just don't know whether Colin has that in him. And if he can't find a way to have that, is he going to get left behind by these other three? And I think there's a chance he does. So that's why I'm going no. It's a very long way of saying that no podium for Turkington. And I think that Cook's going to have a bit of a bad weekend.
Ooh, really?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of high hopes that Cook could be in the championship hunt this weekend. He did pretty well at the historic racing last weekend.
Took a podium here last season in race three.
Yeah, yeah. I think he scores less than 15 points. I think there will be teething problems with one of the cars, and the way it goes, it will be the championship. It'll be the one they have the championship hopes on, because that's always the way it goes.
Okay.
I think that it's interesting that we believe Moffat has got the Sheddon chassis and Cook has got the
robot on one,
we believe. Not that it makes any particular difference, but I don't know. It's a brand new car to a degree. It's a brand new engine. It's a brand new team. Will there be teething problems? Yes, I think there probably will be.
I think he looked quite happy and relaxed at media day.
Well, he did, but he was quite happy and relaxed.
He certainly looked a lot happier then at the end than at the end of last season at Brands Hatch when he just picked up the Independence title.
Yeah.
That was a very weird interview. If you get the chance to go and view it, because it's very strange and almost quite off-putting.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think we're going to see a different Cook this season.
I think that... How deep do you want to go so early in the season? Look, let's go for a bold statement here. There's nowhere to hide.
Okay.
But in the sense that we know Cook's a really good driver. We know he's fast.
That's right.
He's a good driver all round, but yeah, he's the king of thrucks. He's a good driver. He's a great driver. However, he's been able to put it bluntly, use the excuse that the engine's not been there to compete the last season or two.
Okay.
This year, there's no reason the engine shouldn't be there to compete.
No.
So if he's not there competing, what's the reason this time round? That's my question.
Is it going to need him to take a weekend or two to work into how that engine reacts with the chassis and stuff like that? Or if he's going to be in a title battle, has he got to be on it from... day zero.
I think it'll be on day zero. You're up against Tom Ingram, Ash Sutton, and Jake Hill, who are going to be on it from day zero. You know, Ingram went in and learnt the Hyundai within a season and won it in the second season.
Yep.
I'm willing to accept they might take a year to fully come to terms. But then part of me also thinks that will we see this Civic next year? Surely they'll move to the new shape next year, because the new shape is being used in a couple of other TCR series I've seen announced.
Yep.
So it seems only a matter of time before it comes to touring cars. I don't know, I just think that, you know, last season, Cook got a lot of free passes from most people on the fact that it was a tractor engine in the car. There was no power in it. You could see that there was just no speed on the straights whatsoever. And then I was like, oh, God, imagine what Cook could do with an engine that was actually any good. It's got that engine that's quite good.
Yeah.
This is the season where he's really got to make his mark for me.
Well, my three predictions for this weekend.
Indeed.
All three Toyotas are going to score points this weekend, across the weekend, not in every single race necessarily. There are rumours circulating that Team Hard may struggle to get Jade's car together and ready for the start of the season, and I don't think it's going to necessarily be fully ready.
Ooh, okay.
I don't know. As we said in the Media Day podcast, it's a big jump to go from four to six cars. And for a team like Hard, who can offer these very small budgets, to then bring on two more cars, I think it might be a bit of a stretch. I think we will see Jabe there, but I don't think the car's going to be competitive at all. It might not even get out for a race.
Hang on, I thought you meant they weren't going to have the car ready in time.
Oh, no. No, almost like Parfitt's was last year.
Oh, okay, right, okay.
So Parfitt's Infinity right, was there.
Right, I need to change what I've done here then.
But really wasn't ready as such.
Right, okay.
Physically there, but not actually.
How am I going to judge that to give you a point or not?
We can judge that together. We'll be fair on that.
Okay, but she could be at the back of the grid most weekends.
She could, but I think that we may have technical issues through the races for her.
Okay. That could happen every weekend. Okay, we'll make a judgment call on that then.
Yeah. And my final one is going to be Ronan Pearson to score points on his opening weekend.
Yeah, that's cool. I agree. I can see it happening. I agree with you on that. He was pretty impressive during the testing.
Yeah.
Looked at home in the car.
He'll settle in quite quickly as well because he's come from Accelerate background in the minis.
Yeah.
So I think he's used to being around the team, and I think he got integrated quite early towards the end of last season and the start of this season.
Question for you on that.
Go on.
Why didn't they get out?
Yeah.
Will every driver score a point this year?
No.
Okay.
Whether that's...
That's fine.
Whether that's through maybe even drivers not finishing the season. Maybe if all drivers are to finish the season, then we could see everyone score points. But for some reason, I just doubt it. You?
I think for the first time in a long time, all the cars are definitely capable of scoring points.
Okay, yeah.
The machinery, there's no
Hassett
trundling around. Yeah. There's no MG that was built in the 40s that is still inexplicably on the racing track.
No, we have got the Astra.
Yeah, but Lloyd did well in that Astra.
I know.
I think the Astra is still capable of scoring points. They scored points last year. Hand got some really good results in that last year. I think that car is still capable of scoring points. The cars are all capable of scoring points.
It's just are the drivers.
Yeah, that's the question.
Which is why I'm going to say no.
I think I agree with you. Although I think it will only be one or two that don't.
Yeah, same.
I'm not going to say which ones because that's disrespectful. But yeah, I think that certainly this is the best opportunity for all to score points.
Yeah,
for a while.
I mean,
no one's stuck in the tractors that were the BTC cars of last year. No one's in a Passat. No one's in a MG. There's no obvious weak car on the grid. Apart from, yes, you make the point, PMR, but the testing results are pretty promising.
Yeah,
and actually, PMR have slightly made me give them a bit of a delayed judgment in the fact that they've gone to a three car team. They've seen they made it work. They've brought in drivers that actually make sense.
All three drivers were running at testing and running plenty of laps. It wasn't like there was one really struggling. They were all lap out there circulating.
So, yeah. I'm willing to give them a little bit more before completely crucifying them for not getting rid of the Astra, but absolutely. Right. And our last prediction then, loser buys.
The most important prediction.
Absolutely.
Of course.
The loser buys. Price of a pint of beer.
Pint of beer. Now, are we going for the cheapest pint of beer?
Yes.
Cheapest pint. Lovely. I am going to go, because cost of living crisis and all this, £5.20. I think last season they were about £5, weren't they?
Yeah, around about
that. I think there's going to be a little bit of an increase.
I'm going for £5.50.
Ooh.
On the basis that, you know, it's an event price. It's not quite north enough that they won't pay it. You know, Alton Park and Croft absolutely floored about how cheap things were.
10% increase.
Yeah, well,
up there with inflation.
Bank of England, mate. You know me. My food bill's gone up more than that. So I reckon in £5.50, and we're talking, as you say, that's the cheapest pint. I imagine Heineken, if it's there, will be slightly more expensive.
But yeah.
The cheapest pint of beer, not cider.
Not cider,
of beer.
No, that's fair.
And the loser buys.
Yes, yes.
Look forward to a nice refreshing pint on Sunday.
As we said, we are going to be there on Sunday. We'll be there for the whole day. If you do see us, we're more than happy for you to come up and have a word with us.
You can identify us now as well.
Yeah, you can. Nice. We're loving the interactions that we're getting on social media and now on YouTube as well. And we'd love it if you could keep subscribing, commenting, and don't forget on YouTube, get that bell on.
Yeah, we've been absolutely humbled, to be honest, with the response to the opening 24 hours, if you like, from the announcement. Plenty of you have already downloaded your free guide to the year. To already have people subscribing to the channel and liking the video and watching the video is amazing. Kevin, a listener this morning, get in touch, so they're fairly new to the pod. It honestly astonishes us that anybody listens to us. So, yeah. Thank you very much indeed.
Yeah, thank you very much. We love your feedback. And we will be back on Monday, hopefully. Might be released on Tuesday, actually, with a review from the weekend.
Yep.
Hopefully, we'll have dried out by then, and we'll bring you up to date with all the news.
There'll also be a YouTube short coming your way very shortly. See what I did there?
I've got that.
Where we are sealing our predictions and a full league table. We have ranked all of the drivers.
27-1.
Yeah. Ready to be opened at the end of the season to see who was closest. And there is, of course, points on offer, and there is points do mean prizes.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting one. Watch out for that, because there'll be a video at the end of the season when we reveal all and see actually how close we are.
I'll probably get you to open mine and vice versa, just to really high up the tension.
Definitely. But we like the tension.
Absolutely. Well, thanks again, and we'll speak to you soon.
Have a good weekend.